Police in Manchester, England, have identified the suicide bomber they say carried out last night's attacks as 22-year-old Salman Abedi. He died and at least 22 other people were killed in the attack outside the Ariana Grande concert at Manchester Arena. More than 50 people were hurt. Many of the victims, fans of the 23-year-old Grande, were children, including an 8-year-old, Safi Rose Roussos. Here's British Prime Minister Theresa May.
All acts of terrorism are cowardly attacks on innocent people. But this attack stands out for its appalling, sickening cowardice, deliberately targeting innocent, defenseless children and young people who should have been enjoying one of the most memorable nights of their lives.
NPR's Frank Langford is in Manchester. Frank, what do we know about the alleged bomber?
Well, we know, Robin, that he was 22 years old and that he was on the radar of intelligence agencies here in Britain. A high-ranking Western government official told me that they believe that he may have recently returned from Libya. Police are now kind of trying to determine, they say, if this is part of a radical Islamist network here in the United Kingdom. But analysts I talked to say that they're pretty sure that this fellow was. And what they're hearing from intelligence here is that he was someone that was peripheral, someone that intelligence agencies had an eye on, but did not see him as high risk.
Do we know anything about the actual bomb? Eyewitnesses last night said they saw bolts, across the floor.
Well, we don't. Those details we haven't gotten from the police yet to find out exactly what was inside the bomb. But some sources that I were talking to described it as powerful and effective. And one of the concerns is this man actually would not have had the capability to actually build this. Here was the quote that I got. Our assessment is he did not have the skills to build such a bomb, and the conclusion is there is a bomb maker out there. And so the concern is that there could be somebody else with these skills who could be looking to do this again. Now, earlier today, there was a 23-year-old who was arrested by police. We don't know exactly why he was arrested. Perhaps it seems like they would be certainly looking if this fella who died, the suicide bomber, didn't have the skills. Certainly they would be looking for somebody who did.
Yeah, that was a big question after the Boston bombing, too, and they never really traced that. There were thousands of children, teenagers, parents at the show. Here's one of the teens, Kennedy Hill. She was there with her mom and spoke to the BBC.
All of a sudden, there was a loud bang, and it sounded like an echo, but it sounded like balloons had been popped, like they'd been stood on or something like that. And, I mean, we looked at each other like, oh, my God.
Frank Langford, do we have any sense why the bomber targeted this event, this venue?
We don't. Now, it's very interesting. Here in the United Kingdom, there is a long history of terrorism. Certainly, you remember back in the 70s, the Irish Republican Army. But nothing quite like this. Usually what we see is indiscriminate attacks on people, ordinary folks. This was one where clearly the people who were targeted were young people who went to the concert and their families. Now, I talked to analysts today to try to make sense of this. And one person I said, said to me, shock value, of course, inflict pain on the West based on, sort of the coalition bombings that we've seen in Syria and Libya and basically payback. But another analyst I was talking to thought that we shouldn't focus so much on the youth and that this could be a matter of Islamist distaste for music and Western youth culture and that it was really more driven by those concerns and that, anger towards that kind of culture that many Islamists obviously don't like much.
Well, it also could be because he could. It reminds us of the Brussels train station bombing. The security perimeter doesn't matter if you can be standing right outside that security perimeter as people flow out of, say, an arena, when you're checked and you go in.
Yeah, obviously a very soft target. And the bomb, as we understand it, was not inside. If you saw the video, it was not inside the venue, not inside the stadium, arena itself. And so a soft target and not probably a hard thing to do if you had the right skills, you had someone helping you.
Yeah, it just raises so many questions. How far can you move the security perimeter out if it's a public place outside the arena and there's shops and things and ticket counters as this place and many, many venues have, around the world? Look, Frank, what's going on there today in Manchester? I'm sure somber, but we know that Manchester has a lot of those closed-circuit televisions that you see in London. We know M5 and special branch authorities are going through a lot of that CCTV footage and asking people to upload their videos onto police websites as part of this intelligence. What's the mood there?
Well, I think it is very somber, of course. One of the things that you saw last night, though, that I think people here in Manchester are very proud of, is that taxi drivers offered free rides to people away from the venue. Mm-hmm. People were offered to come into people's homes, people who'd been stranded because the train station was shut down. And so there is a sense of toughness here and a sense of community and a sense that they're not going to be cowed by this.
Yeah, we understand there's actually concerts going on tonight. NPR's Frank Langfitt. They're in Manchester, England. Frank, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Robin.